It's I need to find my pick of the week, Adam. I'm very concerned.
So we started off while you're looking for your pick of the week.
And just ignore me. Just like, fuck Doug. Who cares?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the fifth episode of Filmed Insert Podcast, Season 2. So we're not total noobs. Doug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm a noob too. It's a point that I
I
should
guess
make.
we're both kind of noobs at this still. But we're trying our best.
Off to a great start. Yeah, we are trying our best. It's a valiant effort.
It is a
We
valiant effort, and yeah,
like
the
you right, you work really, really hard on like development of the site and like putting together databases and like really making the site work. And I write like several emails.
you do write emails. They're very and they're well-constructed emails.
I do.
And now that we have for people who may not know, we went through a huge database structure change on the site. That's why a
Some
lot of
would call it an overhaul.
some would call it an overhaul. Yeah, we went through a visual overhaul and then we went through a database overhaul. It was needed. Basically, if anybody is listening who is into database design and structure, I made things too complicated on myself. And we basically refined. And what we're doing right now is we're actually integrating the data from Discogs, which is an online open source database of artists and albums. And some of those albums, tracks on those albums, come with video data. Some of it is not music videos, so we'll have to do a lot of sifting through that. But if you notice in the stats in the site, it's jumped up from, 2,000 artists to 631,451 artists,
Every
and
artist which I had to individually check and make sure that they were appropriate for our site, which was not a great job for you to give me.
no, it was not. And by the time we're done with the import, it'll be about 2.5 million, and then we're gonna have we I don't know, maybe don't want to spill all of our plans because we've got some big ones, but
We won't spill the beans.
we're yeah things are moving every single day for Filmed In, so we're excited. And we're also talking to some pretty awesome people from podcasts, so we're excited.
Yeah, and the fact that we're building every day, that's something that I include in my emails that I send people.
Oh, good.
It has been a lie up till now.
It has been a partial lie.
I think I'm pretty sure a partial lie is still a lie.
Well, a lot of the work has been under the hood. For weeks, I was. I'm not. I've never really worked with. Anyway, this is boring technical stuff. But
No,
it was on the database side, so it wasn't any of
people.
the.
People love this stuff.
Anyway, but let's talk about music videos instead.
We ought to.
We ought
We ought
to,
to.
because
That's what people sign up for.
that's right. When they click subscribe on iTunes, which you should, and I should mention, if you're listening to this podcast, and enjoy it, let us know via Twitter or something like that. But also, what really helps, I hear, is writing a good review on iTunes. Even the big boys do that. Even the guys who run the very, very large podcasts implore their users to write a good review on iTunes, so it must work.
It's weird. Both times that you asked for them to write a good review, your audio like screwed up.
It would I think it's only on your end because I'm recording it, or maybe I'm not, maybe I'm an idiot.
And we are okay if you write like, Three Wolves Moon style reviews. Like they don't necessarily have to be give any kind of hint about the podcast as long as they're positive.
Yeah.
Use use your imagination in the in those boxes. You know, write your manifesto.
But don't do anything like, if anybody runs a blog, you know the comments you get where it's like, oh, best blog post, this is your best blog post ever. I love the header of your website. Because they have these robots that crawl through and comment on people's posts and leave links to Viagra and sweaters and things like that.
Yeah, don't leave any Viagra links.
If you
Or
have any deals,
sweater.
if you have any deals and everything, email us directly. I mean,
Right, don't leave the links on the website where other people might be able to get it. We want some exclusive Viagra deals.
right. So filmedinsert.com/contact.
I'm pretty confident that we're not going to talk about music videos in this
No, yeah,
podcast.
we are. We're just gotta
Oh,
get through the main
the
crux.
important
This is
stuff,
just
like
some right.
asking people to comment on the blog or on the podcast is very important.
Right.
Is important. And asking them to tweet us, super important.
Very important. Now, Doug, are you Family Guy fan at all?
Yeah, I think so. I think my love for it has significantly been reduced.
Well,
Modern
anyway,
day,
simple yes or no.
days
I was
though.
just looking for a yes or no.
Well, that's not how this works at Film Denser Podcast.
That's right. We got a lot of time to kill. But have you ever seen Stewie Griffin's Everything I Do It For You music video? Does this ring a bell?
I don't know.
Well, we'll
I
link
don't
to
know.
it in our.
Is that the one where he does it like William Shatner?
No. This is Stewie singing pretty straight. A version of Bryan Adams' "Everything I Do It For You," which was off the Robin Hood soundtrack, the version with Kevin Costner, and we'll link to it in the show notes. But there is this sort of epic music video parody, where music video parodies just sort of morph into one another. There's, you'd have to have a pretty wide-ranging knowledge of music videos from the 80s. A lot of them are from the 80s. And 90s, if you took a look at it, but there's references to the White Stripes, Fell in Love with the Girl, The Police, Wrapped Around Your Finger, Pink Floyd's The Wall. There's just a ton. I mean, there's way too many l to list and to even get into. But so I've been, and I know we talked about doing something on music video parodies. And references to music videos and other music videos, because I think that's an interesting topic.
It's a very interesting topic, and that was a great lead-in. If especially after I cut out all of the crap that I was talking about Family Guy, that's completely irrelevant. I can think of an actual music video that like kind of makes jokes about like I don't know. It makes a lot of music video references and makes jokes about kind of stereotypes in a specific genre of music, and that's the Roots video for What They Do. The Roots have gotten kind of exposed to a broader audience lately,
Through Jimmy
thanks
Fallon.
through Jimmy Fallon. But their upcoming album is going to be their 13th album, and they've been around for a really long time. And the What They Do video is, I think what like it may be. Like one of their first big hit, like top 40 type hit. I don't know. Like they I can't be sure, but I think that's the case. But anyway, in this video, it's basically full of references to other rap videos at the time, and I think it came out in like the mid 90s. It was full of re references to stuff that was in every single rap video during those years, and it's literally like written on the screen what they're doing. Like it'll show people running, and it just like on the screen it'll be like, where are they running to? Or show people driving and like ask the same question, where are they driving to? Or like stereotypical logo, blur the logo shot, and like all these shots that were in all these music videos, and just bold face like calling them out. And I think that that kind of
Well,
fits into this conversation as well.
I think the ones that are more the ones that were interesting for me were the ones where, you know, they show the mansion and they say rented for the day. It was like the Goldstein residence, the champagne is ginger ale, things like that. But yeah, it was definitely kind of playing on, you know, either references or sort of the kind of tropes of music videos at that time, because you look at it, it looks like a music video from 1996, because you remember all these things that were constantly reappearing in music video after music video.
Yeah, I mean, you could pull up any music video made in that year and you would find at least one of the elements that they're talking about, or, you know, something like that. And there's kind of like two jokes going on. They're like giving away, like, you know, they're like bringing attention to the production of the music video, and you know, like making fun of rappers who like drive these rented cars in music videos and act like they're their own, or like have all these women around them in a bed and act like they're not hired actresses or models, you know, that they're actually like girls that they're like gonna have sex with after the video shoot. It's like, okay, we're done shooting, get out of here. You know, we finished, we've wrapped for the day, now leave so we can have sex, me and these girls. Like, I guess that's what the idea, that's what they're having you think by having these girls in this music video. And so, you know, to bring direct attention to that, you know, not now when it's kind of like the thing to do to like make fun of, you know, make like joke fake rap videos. Like there's a blog, Video Gum, that like whenever there's like a popular fake rap video, though, you know, the title of the blog post will be like, people are still making fake rap videos, and then they'll blog post about it, because, you know, like it's something that people parody nowadays. But back in 1996, when people were like still afraid of rappers.
I know I was afraid of rappers.
Yeah, it was different. They weren't like, there, a lot of the popular rappers now and a lot of the popular rappers in 96, I mean, it was just a different world. Even the rappers that are currently popular now, I saw a picture on Reddit or something of, it's like 1996 Snoop Dogg is disappointed with 2011 Snoop Dogg. And it shows like 96 Snoop Dogg with like long, long ass hair with just like a puzzled look on his face, like in the hood with some like hockey jersey on. And then there's a picture, a clip of Snoop Dogg from the Katy Perry video.
Oh, no.
In like the colorful jumpsuit and stuff like that. And
well, that's, you know, part of the thing that the Stewie Griffin video is doing is you can go through and watch those music videos and you don't know, maybe you can't name every one, but you're like, oh, yeah, I know the type of music video that they're referencing, because a lot of them are very... The references from a time where music videos were very, very earnest, a lot more than they are now. I mean, you recognize some images like, you know, sitting on the bus station with a red balloon with everything's black and white, and, you know, growing angel wings and sort of coming up from the stage, which I think is a reference to, Losing My Religion video by R.E.M. I think that's completely wrong, but you kind of recognize this, the idea behind them. So if you did, I think if you did this for music videos maybe in the early 2000s or the late 2000s, you would get a whole different kind of perspective on it.
It really ends up being very, you know, of like depending on what kind of, you know, music video what area of the music video you're parodying or referencing comes from really will determine, you know, kind of the structure of the video you're making at the, you know, currently. You know, it's interesting, this conversation kind of is a pretty appropriate one for our interview of this episode, wouldn't you say?
So we have somebody on the, I'm excited about this interview because this is a fantastic interview. It is Josh Forbes, also known as Fosh Jorbs on Twitter. That's FOSHJORBES on Twitter. He's a very entertaining Twitter account. But Josh is actually at the third or fourth person we've interviewed from More Media, who's sort of a collective of directors and creative people. And he himself is a music video director. Some of the videos to his name are The Fray You Found Me, which was a huge hit you probably are familiar with, as well as Sarah Bareilles' Love Song video. He's got a lot of other fantastic videos like Song Away by Hockey, Wind It Up by the Barenaked Ladies. We've got a Barenaked Ladies video in there.
And good, was a good Charlotte one?
There was a good Charlotte one. Like It's Her Birthday was a good Charlotte right. one. And just a ton of music videos. You can go to winchandpulley.com, which is his if you go to the About Boche page, this is just him. It's sort of a moniker for what he does. Where there's a few more videos that are listed than on the current More Media page. But anyway, before this interview, I should explain, because I don't do a very good job explaining it on the interview, but one of the videos he directed, The Fray You Found Me, is referencing or paying homage to the Wim Wenders movie Wings of Desire, which is about angels. Go read it. It's a little bit complicated to explain, but it involves angels and involves them sort of not interfering, but helping out in things with people's lives. And there's sort of a weird triangle here because U2 made a music video called or wrote a song called Stay Far Away So Close for the Wim Wenders movie Far Away So Close. And then Wim Wenders directed the music video for Stay Far Away So Close, which was laden with references to Wings of Desire. There's actually some very direct correlations between it. As you can see, U2 is actually playing like angels, and there's this band, and they're kind of like helping them along with instruments. It's not as corny as it sounds. It's actually a pretty good music video. But anyway, so if you get get confused about what we're talking about, that's it. But anyway, Josh is awesome. He's directed some really fantastic stuff, and some extremely disturbing stuff, as you'll hear. So let's check it out, Josh Forbes.
I'm a director living in Los Angeles. Doing like primarily music videos right now. Trying to think of, I'm always the worst at remembering like the things I've done. I've done videos for like Sarah Bareilles is a big one, and Outlawing Trio, and Good Charlotte, and I don't know. Just as I've been at it kind of time for maybe 4 years or so. So I've done, you know, the videos for kind of a range of people, and I don't know. I think my style is pretty eclectic, I guess. I think I have a big bag of tricks that I pull from for whoever I'm working with.
You say you've been at it for 4 years, and it says on your More Media bio that before music videos, you used to be a copywriter in advertising. And yeah. I embarrassingly am currently kind of a copywriter in advertising. That's part of what I do during the day. So I was wondering, like, how, you know, first of all, like, tell us how awesome that was. And then also tell us how you made the transition, and if there were anything in between.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, the copywriting thing, like, kind of fell into my lap. Like, I know it's one of the things I think a lot of people like go to school for and try really hard to get. But I was out of work. I had been working as like a segment producer for this like local TV show, and it got canceled. So I was like, shit, like, what am I gonna do? And a friend of mine was like, hey, have you heard of, you know what a copywriter is? And I had to like look it up. But it's like, oh, that's the guy who writes ads. Like, that's easy. I could do that. So I applied. I submitted like some spec commercials I had done and all this. And they were like, oh, do you have any experience? And I was like, no, I do not. And I don't know. They kind of liked my attitude or my fresh approach or whatever. But yeah, man, I don't know. I guess it could be a cool job. I worked with a lot of like Nestle candy and stuff. So like, you know, you basically end up spending hours and hours talking about like nougat and, you know, is it chocolatey? Is it chocolate flavored? You know, whatever. Just being these really in-depth conversations about like the lamest stuff.
That's actually a lot better. I copyright for like trash cans and stuff. So I would love really? I'd love to write about nougat and
yeah.
Man,
what does that mean copywriting it like?
Well, I copyright for the web a little bit too. Oh,
okay.
And there's, and, yeah. They sell, one of the companies that I copyright for sells trash cans and like stuff for outside. So like trash cans,
cool.
And benches and picnic tables and all the other boring things.
That's good.
So
it's the coolest.
So yeah, how did you make that transition from, you know, from working in, for copywriting to music videos? I mean, is that something you'd always wanted to get into, or is it something that also fell into your lap?
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole time I had been, like, since college, I had been doing, I mean, music videos, basically, like, that was kind of, I mean, I was obviously, like, a big fan of Spike Jonze and Michelle Gondry and all those guys, and, like, sort of saw that as the path, you know, towards doing what I want to do. And so, like, from college on, I was always kind of doing videos on the side, and, yeah, then eventually, you know, some people saw my stuff and, or, you know, it's the sort of thing where like you're paying to make the video and then you find an artist who wants to split it with you. And then you find somebody who wants to pay for it. And then at a certain point I found like a rep who liked my stuff. And, I was like writing a lot of treatments and stuff while working at the ad agency. And like, you know, I was even like holding production meetings there and like, we were doing wardrobe fittings in the office after hours. It was like pretty sneaky. but yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's kind of boring, but you know, just been doing videos all my life, kind of. Primarily, I mean, because I love music, one, and then two, like it was somebody else to pay for it, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Are any of those early videos that like the ones that you like were funded by you or split with between you and the artist, are any of those part of your current reel, or are those kind of like locked away?
They're on. I have another website called winchandpulley.com. And there's pretty much all the old stuff is on there. Winch and Pulley was originally like the idea of that was I had a friend who, like when we first started, we were co-directing, and then I realized like, oh wait, you're the producer and I'm the director. And so I wanted to do something kind of along the lines of like Hammer and Tongs or, you know, Koontz and McGuire or something. So that's where Winch and Pulley came in. And then my friend like got a girlfriend and got like a good job and decided to quit. So I just kept doing it on my own. But yeah, Winch and Pulley, that's where you can find all that old stuff.
So there's a few videos out of your canon that we wanted to talk about, because you're right, you have a lot of variety between, you know, some of the really big videos you've done, you know, like the Fray, You Found Me, the Sarah mm-hmm. Barry Ellis love song, and then some really awesome ones for, you know, some artists that, you know, some people may not be aware of. So, you know, one of the ones we wanted to talk about was the Submarine Symphonica song, which if anybody hears the song, they'll recognize it from one of the iPhone commercials around 2008. That seems to be the one that has a, you know, you bring a lot of effects elements into your videos. And this one has a lot of really cool ones. It's almost a showcase for a lot of these. So I was wondering if you could talk about the, you know, the effects in those videos and how you use them.
Yeah. I'm glad you appreciated that, because I guess the way I see videos is like a lot of videos that get huge virally have like one trick that they just do over and over, and like I'm too ADD for that. Like my, you know, like I don't, it gets boring to me to just do one thing over and over. So I just thought like, oh, well, what if I, you know, sort of stream of consciousness kind of like compiled all these kind of ideas and effects and like tricks that I've wanted to do. And you know, and with that video, like we had no, I think we had like $5,000 for it.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of compositing, a lot of, stop motion, a lot of, what else do we have in there? I don't know.
You've got the, you got the perspective effects in there too.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's the most ridiculous thing too, is that like, I mean, it was almost idiotic for us to do that. 'Cause we built what's called an Ames room, which is this huge like forced perspective room where, you know, one person stands in one corner and they look all huge and the other person stands in the other corner and they look small, which like we easily, I mean, it's dumb because there's so many like composite effects. We easily could have just done that and it would have been just delightful. But like I had it in my head, like, oh, we're going to make this room. And, I don't know. I think it comes across. Like, I think you can kind of, I feel like you can feel that it's a real room rather than just, you know, green screen or something. But yeah, that was really fun. That was really awesome to make.
Now, was that around the time of the, you mentioned your Michel Gondry fan. Was that around the time of the, I think the Michel Gondry Denial Twist White Stripes video with all the, you know, all the perspective effects? Was that a factor in kind of wanting to do something like that?
Kind of. I mean, I think that came out like a bit before this. I think there's a little bit of an influence with that. I think I just generally have always loved that effect, like just from watching, you know, stuff like on Sesame Street or something. Like, it's a very like kind of Sesame Street effect, like very simple and
right,
childlike or whatever. That's the thing, like Michel Gondry stuff, like it hurts my brain. Like it's hard to wrap your head around all that stuff. So for me, it's more, I guess a lot of the stuff, a lot of the ideas are kind of like what would like a little kid think, or what, you know, what would a fifth grader enjoy making or like looking at, you know?
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, that was a really fun one. I love those guys. One of my first videos I did was for them as well, for a song called Peace and Hate. And yeah, they've remained really close friends, the Submarines, and they're just the nicest people.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely really come through in the video.
Yeah.
And that's another thing we wanted to ask you about, because in, you know, a lot of your videos, we noticed a thread of a lot of performance-based videos. You know, from the ones like the Good Charlotte, Like It's Her Birthday video, the Metro Station,
right,
Shake It, and even the Overtones, which, you know, they're not, you know, a traditional rock band, but a lot of it is very performance based, in the Gambling Man video.
Right.
Is there a certain way you approach performance based videos?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a necessary evil. I think. You know, I think the cooler a director you are, the less performance videos you do. But like, at the end of the day, you're making a commercial for the artist. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think how I approach it. I mean, it's, you really just kind of want to get whoever they are across, you know, on camera. So whether, like, if it's Good Charlotte, and like, I really want, like, I feel like they're kind of this next level sort of, I don't know, this sort of like this pop creation. So that's why I wanted to do them in like this black void with this neon box, you know, like just something really like hyper cool. And then like all the Metro Station stuff is pretty fun because they're, you know, they are who they are. And we get to, you know, have them looking all rock star and like, you know, rocking out, like in the 17 Forever video, you know, they're performing like with guys' motorcycle jumping behind them and flames everywhere and stuff. So
it's hard not to look cool when you have motorcycles jumping behind you.
Yeah, exactly. That's why once I get enough money, I'm gonna hire a professional team of motorcycle guys. Or maybe BMX guys. Maybe I'll start with that.
They're probably cheaper, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that a lot of, you know, I mean, in music videos, like a lot of videos need performances. And so I think it's important to know how to shoot them and to know, I don't know, to be able to work them in and to make your peace with it and feel, you know, good about it.
Do you try to add elements to them? Is that why that certain, you know, in certain videos, like in the Overtones video or in the Hockey Song Away video, how, you know, there might be, you know, the artists singing and performing the song, but there are elements to it that, you know, aren't in your standard performance video. Are those important to bring in, or are those, you know, do those elements come from you, or do they come from the artist? How does that work?
Well, let's see. So the hockey video is its own creative beast, and I kind of feel I should probably not even talk about it on air because the process got really convoluted. Like a lot of it was a kind of a pylon of ideas, like from the label and from the artist, and like that one, like my original concept for that was much more simple. But yeah, I don't know. As far as the Overtones, like, my whole thought for that was like that their performance would feel almost like a model catalog shoot or something, but with them singing in it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's different for each band. It's definitely important to have some extra element beyond them just standing there and singing, because it's definitely kind of like could be the most boring part of a music video.
But not according to the artist.
Right, exactly. Or the label. It's like, that's the thing, is the one thing that they're always like, hey, can we get some more, what do you think about more close-ups of the guy? I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, like, we forgot what he looked like, you know?
Do you ever have an idea not, you know, that doesn't include a performance aspect, and the label's like, well, I like this idea, but we're going to need some performance pieces in there as well?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I wish that I could, I don't know, it'd be nice to not have to do that, but then I understand that they, you know, the demand for it. But I'm trying to think of a specific example of a time that I think I generally kind of always keep a performance aspect in just because I know that they'll gravitate towards it. But there, I'm trying to think. I think there's something I did recently that, where I said, "Hey, let's not do it," and then they didn't do it, or maybe I didn't get that job. I don't know. I mean, that's yeah, like you guys should do a segment on your website, or somebody needs to do like a graveyard for like abandoned treatments or whatever.
If you have it, if you have any, we'll publish them.
Oh yeah, we'll put those up there. I think we're talking to Isaac Rentz, and I can't remember if it was Isaac or Ryan Reichenfeld from More Media. Yeah. Who were talking about that they almost had the Kesha Blow video, and they had a whole treatment for it, and somebody else got it, I think.
Well, I think that might have been Ryan McNeil, actually.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, or I'm good friends with Keith Schofield, you know him?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he actually has published a bunch of his on his website. But yeah, I mean it's funny. Like if the amount of amazing ideas that are out there that never get made is kind of depressing. But you know, that's their job, I guess.
That's true. one of the videos that you know, a lot of times we look at a lot of popular videos, you know, they're you know, we kind of say, oh, they're not just cool, sort of the more indie videos. One that we really liked was the Frey You Found Me, which is a huge, massive radio hit. And shot in Chicago, which is great. And you know, I was watching it, I was thinking it kind of reminded me of the Wim Wenders directed U2 video for Stay Far Away, So Close. And then I sort of started reaching it. There's this whole sort of interplay between the, you know, Wings of Desire video movie, which would apparently, you know, inform the music video. So I was wondering if you could, you know, talk about where that inspiration came in for this video.
Yeah. I mean, that's directly where the idea came from. I'm glad that you noticed. I don't know, like, because I kind of know the Frey guys a little bit, and like, or knew them at the time. And Isaac the singer is a real spiritual, like, Christian guy, and like, I don't know, like the song itself is about like confronting God and asking him like, hey, why is all this shitty stuff happening or whatever. So I started kind of mulling over those ideas of like religion and faith and Christianity, and like one of the images that popped up in my head was the movie Wings of Desire. And I thought like, oh man, wouldn't that be cool if the band was, you know, played these angels kind of, who sort of appeared in people's lives and like, you know, kind of oversaw, or sort of like, I don't know, we're kind of an answer to that question of like, hey God, where were you when all these things happened? And the answer is like, I don't know, I was there, but I don't know, but in the form of a cool band, I guess, I don't know. So that was definitely, a lot of times too, I'll play the song and then like play different YouTube clips with the volume down. And I hit upon like a clip from Wings of Desire, and I was playing the song and I was like, oh man, there we go. There's the video. It sucks because I had this whole kind of intricate, like all the little vignette scenes were supposed to interlock. Like we would drift off from one guy and go to the next person and go up through a window. And like, I had all this stuff planned out. And then 2 days before we shot, like the president of Sony or whatever it was, decided to read the treatment and was like, whoa, what is this? These are all old people. We need young kids. Because my original thing was like way more depressing and like, you know, just these grizzled old people who are dying and stuff. And like, they're like, we need young, hot kids making out, because that's all we know.
Well, the you know, you look at the video and it's, I mean, there's beautiful shots of Chicago. You guys are all over the place in downtown. The guys are up on buildings and things like that. I mean, it must have been, it's all night shoots. You know, how long did that take to shoot? And you know, it must have been a pretty large budget video to get in all those locations.
Yeah, the budget was really nice. And we did it in 2 days. A lot of the building shots were actually green screen, but we green screened the guys, composited them on, but we did do the helicopter stuff ourselves. And, at the time I was working with, a company called Ghost Town. They do a lot of effects and stuff, and they're really great. And they, those guys came out with me and, you know, it was really great because they were able to kind of oversee the effects as we did it. And what else? We had a lot more good people like levitating on these cables and stuff. It was really cool. But the label like made us cut that stuff out because they thought it was too creepy. Because there's a part where like this woman like flies up and her kid tries grabbing after her. And they're like, yeah, it looks like she's like being abducted. And I'm like, yeah, that's the point. It's supposed to be supposed to freak you out. But that was definitely a huge like turning point for me. Like it was so much fun to do, but then also like I felt definitely over my head because like I hadn't worked with that big of a budget at that point, and like just the pressure from the label was so huge. And you know, and then like we're spending all this money on like hotels and shit like that, which is great, which is nice. It's nice to be in the W Hotel, but not when you need two more extras and they're like, we can't afford it. And it's like, really? Because I think all the grips just bought lunch on room service. And, you know, like, what the fuck?
Well, how did that jump happen from to go? I mean, because that for a music video that it has, you know, extremely high production values and locations, yeah, and things like that. Even with, you know, the Sarah Barry Ellis love song video, I mean, that was a massive song, but the, you know, the, yeah, scope and the set of the video is much smaller. How did that come about?
I don't know. I mean, they just had a lot of money for it. basically. And originally they wanted to shoot it in Denver, but it happened around the same time as the Democratic National Convention, like when Obama was going to be in Denver. And so I'm from Denver too, but I just figured, like, because I wanted to get people up on top of the building, I figured, like, shooting people standing on top of buildings while, you know, the black presidential candidate is in town, like, probably is going to go over well.
No, that would probably be considerably more logistically complicated.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to say it was kind of a bygone era, even though it was only a few years ago. You know, I think budgets like that still exist, and, like, those kind of budgets or those kind of videos are around, but there's, you know, quickly kind of drying up. As far as having that much money to really, like, I don't know, to pad it out and, like, give a huge scope to things. You know, which sucks, but then it's kind of fine because it's like, I don't know, when you have that much money, you end up, like, having to throw your cameras on, you know, people playing instruments, you know, performance stuff. Whereas, like, the that Felix Cartel video I did, like, we did that for like $1,500. So I don't know if you've seen it, with the old people doing drugs and stuff.
Oh, no, we have definitely seen that.
Well, that was so much more, I mean, it was kind of a hassle to make, but it was so much more satisfying. Cause, like, that's the kind of, like, sick, twisted shit that's, like, floating around in my head all the time. that I want to make more of. But I just don't have the opportunity to do it or whatever. But yeah, that was a friend of mine works at Dim Mac Records, and I'm always kind of bugging him, like, hey, dude, like, send me something, let's make something. And he sent me that track, and, like, he had, like, no money, but I was like, I had the idea of, yeah, like, basically I wanted to do, like, a Metro Station video, but with everybody being in their 90s. Like, that was kind of my idea. Like, you know, because I feel like I've done so many videos of, like, good-looking young people, like, jumping in the pool or whatever, like, getting wasted, and I don't know. And it's just, like, this is such an empty pursuit, kind of. I thought, like, wouldn't it be funny to do that with old people? And it kind of took on a life of its own, definitely. But
this is the only kind of, I mean, imagine if, I mean, you certainly couldn't have pitched this idea to the Fray, because then, you know, Sony would have got their hands on it and they would have said, right. I mean, they said there were too many old people in the video that you had already. And so this is packed full of old people. And Adam, yeah, and I were talking about a bit about this video before, and both him and I were raised in South Florida and spent a lot of time in Boca Raton and Delray Beach, and we kind of, like, had a bet going, like, where it would be easier to find 20 elderly people willing to, like, free base candy,
right,
and, like, where, like, if it would be easier down here where there's, like, a ton of old people, or would it be easier in LA where there's a ton of old people, actors? And right. So maybe you could shine a light on the where the old people came from in California so you could settle our bet for us.
I think you definitely have a good amount of, like, desperate for attention old people in LA. It's funny, the other night I just watched a documentary called Strictly Background, I think. It's all about people who spend their life, like, being extras in movies. And it was like, oh my gosh, those are exactly the same sort of people that we put in this Felix Cartel video. Like, just these like 80-year-old people who are like, oh, I'm still gonna make it. Like, you're not gonna make it. But yeah, that main guy in that video, I guess, was like Milton Berle's cousin or something, like the main old man. And
by main, you mean the one who mouths his, the lyrics and rubs his nipples?
Yeah, the guy who pushes his nipples, yeah.
Yeah,
man, that guy, what an asshole. Yeah. So first of all, we had set up a second day of shooting because I just felt like we didn't have enough. And first of all, like, he's a liar. He's a straight up liar. I'll just talk shit on him because there's no way he's ever going to figure out how to use a computer. he's a straight up liar. Like, he calls like on the day of the second shoot and is like, my dog caught on fire. Like, what? Yeah. We got my house on fire. My dog's on fire. I got to take you to the vet or whatever. I'm like, okay, sure. I'm like, just get over here, dude. Like, whatever. We're filming at this house. And he finally gets all the way to the house and can't find parking. And then he calls up my producer and just goes, fuck it. And hangs up. And so I hate that guy.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about that video is the little details, because you might think, okay, you're putting old people in this sort of, you know, drugs and alcohol setting, but then my favorite thing is this sort of candy dish of the exact hard candy you'd see in a, old person's home. And I guess my question is, you know, when you're directing, you know, the Freya Good Charlotte, you know, there's kind of an expected, like, okay, we're going to perform and extras and things like that. Is it any different when you've got these old people or you know, these extras, and you're sort of asking them to do really sort of bizarre things and trying to get a because the video seems very, very real. It doesn't seem like old people just sort of acting. It seems like these are actual people you found. How did you create that atmosphere?
Right. It's the same. You're just yelling at different kind of people. it was kind of hard because, I mean, like, as I feel like I have like a really depraved mind and like really like crazy, ridiculous, disgusting like sensibilities. Like, I love, you know, horror movies and like Takashi Miike movies and like all this like crazy, disgusting like stuff. But like, to actually make it it's really hard. Like, it's really hard to tell an old man to like grab his nipples or whatever. and you know, like, I would have loved, you know, there's like a woman that I would have loved for her to like get naked or something, that we could just film her gross skin or something. But like, I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. So it was definitely. It definitely is a process of like trying to work yourself up to creating these images. It's hard, especially when you're paying somebody like $40 or whatever we paid them. You know, I think, I don't know, it's a weird thing because, like, on the one hand, you have somebody who's paying, like, nothing, and then you could have on the other end, like, you know, somebody, I'm trying to think of, like, some amazing actor, like, Sir Laurence Olivier or something, who's played dead now, but, like Robert De Niro, you could pay him $20 million and he wouldn't do it, or you could pay this person $20 and they wouldn't do it. So somewhere in the middle is the sweet spot. But it's funny, one of the guy who like rubs paint on his face, and when we got his headshot, he wrote something like, "I will masturbate on camera for you." Like, that was like his email back. Like, "I will masturbate for you." And I was like, "All right, you're in, man." But then he was like, was totally kind of cold during the whole thing. I don't know. Which makes sense, because the kind of guy who would be up for masturbating is probably kind of like a creepy dude.
Exactly.
Which he was.
He was just there to party. He didn't care about a music video at all. He was just there for the fun. Well, I'm shocked that there's stuff that you've left out of that video that you were like, oh, I wanted to do this, but it was too much.
Oh yeah, there was so much more. Like, we had. In the original cut, there was much more like beating the cat, like, you know, he threw a cat in a bag. I mean, obviously it was fake, but like, we had a whole sequence where they're like really beating the shit out of it. And then there was like a whole sword fight sequence too, where they're like, that part just didn't fit. So I just thought it was a funny idea of like old people, you know, for no reason, like pit fighting or like having to do a knife fight or something.
Well, there's one more video that we wanted to ask you about, and I'm a lifelong Bare Naked Ladies fan, so I was really interested to see that that you directed one of the videos for Wind It Up, and I was really interested about that because at that time in the Bare Naked Ladies sort of career, they were sort of not into doing performance videos. They're into, you know, they're doing a lot of videos that were, you know, stop motion or other sort of interesting concepts, and they're doing, you know, a little bit of experimentation with, you know, who they went to videos for and how they did them. And I was wondering, you know, where that video came about and you know, whose idea the whole air guitar portion was.
Right. I think that came about because I had done some stuff to the Submarines, and they're on Network Records,
mm-hmm.
I think is a Canadian label. And then the Bare Naked Ladies came to me. And it was one of those, like, low budget deals, but I didn't care. Like, I've been a huge fan of them for the longest time. Like in high school, they're like my favorite band. Like, any picture of me in high school, I'm wearing a Bare Naked Ladies shirt. It's really embarrassing.
Oh, that is definitely me as well. So I completely understand.
Because I love them so much because they're so funny, but they're so like they're funny, but then they also have a real soft side to them. You know, it's like the saddest song. But I don't know. So for Wind It Up, though, like, sorry, there's dogs in the background. I'm like trying to, I'm walking around my neighborhood.
That's all right.
My dog. Just yelling at the top of my lungs on a podcast, which is embarrassing. So if you hear, like, I live in Little Armenia. So if you hear, like, a car pull up and, like, some sort of rough voice and, like, guns, like, you know, just call the police.
We'll turn it over to the police. Podcast will be part of an investigation, I'm sure.
the whole thing with that song to me, like, the song just has that huge, like, guitar solo in it that's just kind of like, in my head, it was just like such a dumb, such a dumb guitar solo to me. I mean, that's like mean to say. Not dumb, but it just felt so egregious and over the top and like and wacky that I thought like the only way you could legitimately have that in a video is if somebody was making fun of they're doing a guitar solo. And then I've always been fascinated with, like, because there's a whole kind of world of competitive air guitaring. So I think I don't know if I had just. I think it was around the same time that I had started seeing all these clips on YouTube of these air guitar guys. And a friend of mine actually brought me to a thing called Arioki. It's like air guitar karaoke with this guy named Bjorn Turok, who hosted it or something. But yeah, that was the idea. So I thought, like, oh, wow, that would be awesome. Like, the world of competitive air guitar would be funny. And then from there... gosh, I don't know how I got him, but there's the guy in the video is a guy named Dave Sheridan, who he's in a lot of stuff. He was in the movie Ghost World briefly as the guy with nunchucks. Did you ever see that?
I did not know.
Ghost World. What else has he been in? He's also in a band called Van Stone. This like over the top ridiculous metal band. And so I pitched it to him. And his thing was like, well, can I appear in the video as my character, Randy Van Stone? I was like, sure. You can call yourself whatever you want, but you're going to, you know. And so, like, yeah, so we got him, and, like, he's really funny. But he was kind of he's definitely a weirdo. Like, he, while we were shooting, he kept wanting to be called Randy, not Dave. So I'm like, okay, so Dave's going to be walking up here. And he's like, I'm Randy. Like, in front of three other people, like, okay.
He's a method actor. He's a total method actor, even for music videos. Right. That's intense.
Yeah. But like he has, there's a scene where he shows up like wearing this full on like awesome, like looks like an outfit from Kiss or something. Like that was his, he had that himself.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how that video came about. But that guy's awesome. I just saw him again at Comic Con, and I don't know. I want to do more stuff with him. He's really funny.
Yeah, and I think there was a sort of either a companion or an alternate video where it was videos of people air guitaring to the song too.
Oh yeah. We did that too. Like I like edited or oversaw the editing of it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that was like their attempt at doing something viral, which I guess worked. I think that video ended up getting way more views than ours. But
I think that I speak for 15-year-old Adam Fairholm when I say that this is probably the highlight so far of Adam's life. Maybe when his fiance said yes after proposing, but getting to be the director of a Bare Naked Ladies video, I mean, like 11 to 15-year-old Adam Fairholm is like really super jealous right now, doing the moonwalk back of Adam's mind.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us, Josh. This has been really cool.
Thank you guys.
And actually, we wanted to ask one more thing about your Twitter feed, which was mysterious. We're wondering if it has anything to do with music videos, which is you spent a whole day recently with Betty White. Was that music video related?
Oh, yeah. I did a music video with Betty White for a song called I'm Still Hot. Checking that on the YouTubes. Also, I want to plug. I've been doing my own podcast called The Buckshot Boogaloo. So any of your listeners should go listen to The Buckshot Boogaloo on I don't know, iTunes or whatever.
So your name totally beats our name by a lot. So
yeah, that's for sure.
I don't know. Yours has the word film in it. It's just good.
That was pretty awesome.
That was. I have to kind of jump in with some personal stuff here because I live, my office looks out to a drive-through. It's a good drive-through. It's fun. It's not like a Wendy's or anything like that. I won't tell you what it is, but it's a popular North Carolina chain. And there's some kids going nuts.
I hear them, actually.
Really? Because they're laughing up a storm.
You should go out there with the mic and find out what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey kids, what's the fuss about?
What's going on out here, fellas?
Yeah, I can stick my head out the window and yell and ask them.
Now that's the manly thing. That's the manly thing to do.
Well, it's cold outside.
So they can't determine your age or sex.
Well, the thing is if I poke my head outside, they know where I live. They can just walk over here. But the thing is that.
Throw a voice out there. Oh, there's a person around. Don't let them know what type of person.
But I've heard so many weird things from this window, from the drive-through window. It's the most entertaining outside window thing that I've ever. Because I've my last window just looked out at a bunch of trees.
You've had a lot of windows.
Yeah.
So, what's your window of the week pick? What's your window pick of the week?
Well, I'm gonna pick something timely this week.
Okay.
Because it is Thursday the 27th, and on the 24th, Monday or Tuesday, Coldplay's new album, Mixopia, or God, they always name it some weird thing. It's Mixopia or something like that. Came out, and their video didn't just come out, but it was recently brought to my attention. The first single off the album was called Paradise, and they made a video for Paradise. And I'm usually not a big fan of Coldplay videos because they're very similar to their songs, and in the sense that they're very sort of grandiose and a little bit humorless. But this one was really, really interesting. It's directed by Matt Whitecross, filmed in London and Australia, and it's a pretty simple concept. It's this guy. it's obviously a person in an elephant costume. It's like a sort of elephant costume you might find at like a Halloween store. And he's in a cage initially. He escapes, gets on, finds his way to Heathrow Airport in London and flies to Australia. And he's running down this road in the middle of nowhere. And finally he gets to his band, the other three people in very similar elephant costumes with maybe glasses on or some other accessories, and they start jamming out to the song. And part of the way he's riding a unicycle, and then the video ends with them actually playing in a real concert with people in elephant costumes. And it's really fun and interesting to see Coldplay do this, because they usually take themselves so seriously in their videos and things like that. Think of like the first video that probably anybody ever saw from them, Yellow, where it's just a one shot on a stormy beach, and it's so serious and just really taking themselves seriously. And this is a really fun little departure. Although they've done, I mean, they were on Extras, that show, they did some fun stuff there. They've always done some comedic stuff, but it's nice to see them doing something interesting with the video. And it turns out it's a really, really does hold your attention, which is good because it's like a 4.5 minute song. It's a little bit of a long song, so check it out. That's Coldplay in Paradise, and it's directed by Matt Whitecross.
Sweet. Sweet pick, Adam.
Oh, yeah. That's a sweet pick.
I'm a fan of that pick. Because it was well thought out and pre-planned.
It was pre-planned.
My pick is not going to be either of those things.
You gotta just go with it. Don't tell anybody.
No, well, I don't want to lie to the people who listen to this podcast to this point, right, who don't stop it immediately after the interview and actually like care what our picks of the week are.
Right.
So I want to be honest with them, because I consider them friends.
Right, well, we make the picks of the week because we have interesting music videos that we think people should see.
Well, this is certainly an interesting music video that I think people should see.
What about Escape of the Fate, Gorgeous Nightmare?
I got the video. Oh, I've got it. And I'm just,
okay.
Oh yeah, I'm just now hyping it. I'm acting like I don't have a pick. I don't have a pick. I don't have a pick. So then when I drop it on people, they're like, whoa. Right? So,
well, let's drop it.
So my pick of the week is by a long-established R&B dance vocal group called The Whispers from Los Angeles, California, with a consistent track record of hit records dating back to the late 1960s. But this specific video called Keep On Loving Me came out in 1987, and The Whispers is an R&B vocal group, five gentlemen, two twin brothers, and it's just a funky, this is a funky track, and in the video,
I just loaded this up, it's just classic shit.
I know you did. So this video, like, really, like, is a 1987 video, if I'm being serious and I'm just like poking around, joking around. This is like the quintessential R&B video from 1987. I mean, like, it's the five guys just kind of like it might be a one shot video. I don't think I've ever watched it to the end.
No, it's not a one shot video.
From laughing,
but they're, no. but they're in. If I could just jump in here, because
please, this is a fun video that everyone should talk about.
What makes this video? There are a few things that make this video really entertaining. Number one is they are in quite feasibly the most boring locations I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's just like a strip mall.
They're just like on a sidewalk between some like unexciting flowers.
The music video literally starts with them reading the newspaper, like. That is all five members reading like a one-page newspaper. Like, they like split up a newspaper between the five of them. Like, oh, here, you take this page, you take this page, you take this page. And they like all finish reading at the same time, right as soon as they want to start singing, which is like perfect. Is this true, right? You concur? It's pretty perfect.
They all have gigantic mustaches.
Great mustaches. Afros. Great, like, medium-sized afros.
And 80s-looking suits. It's faded. Yeah. You could tell it was shot on some, like, tube camera. And they're literally just... It looks like Chicago.
These guys are jazzy. I mean, they're from Los Angeles, so I'm thinking this is probably shot in Los Angeles.
Probably.
Yeah, I can't be sure.
Now,
because I haven't done my... The video is just, like, so captivating. However, it's you can't watch it for too long because it's just too hilarious. And it's also too awesome. Like, it's too much to handle.
Well, they're really having fun. And one of my favorite things, if you pull it up on YouTube...
Or on Film Insert.
Or Film Insert. Well, you won't get... Just check it out on YouTube. Because the top comment is, back when black people really knew how to party and enjoy each other. All fun without the gun. Things have changed.
Very often, seriously now, I don't know any black guys who can't have fun without the gun.
Well, yeah. That was a fantastic pick. You pulled it out of my ass.
I pulled it out of my ass. You know what I did? I posted that on my Facebook account like a long time ago, like pretending that I was going to do it with All for Doug.
I don't know if you can be that funky. Can you be that funky?
No, but that would be the point. Either that or I would put my face on them, but that would be impossible.
Yeah, your time is spent better elsewhere, like adding videos to Film Dentsu.
Yeah, now that that's opened up, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to fix the rest of it tonight. We got a great new green edit button. But anyway, that's inside baseball stuff, so I think we got to sign off for this podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely. Sign off time.
So everybody will... I think I can safely say that we got some really awesome interviews coming up. So stay tuned, and we'll see you guys next week. You would have a gigantic cup of ice, and then you would just like pour it back as much as into your mouth and chew it all. And I never understood what was so appealing about chewing ice, but it's like a thing. Like, some people like to clip their nails, some people like to do this or that. But
whatever example of that there is, I do them all. So, like, I bite my nails, I chew ice, I chew on straws, I punch old ladies. So all those, like, things, those little quirks that people have.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Like, light homeless shelters on fire. You know, little quirks.
Little things you say. Oh, that dog, he's always lighting homeless shelters on fire.
Yeah, it's like, oh, God, any chance he gets... If he sees someone with some extra matches, he's like, oh, let me get those.